Bible and turn with me again to the book of Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. I'm going to give you part 2 to this message that we began this morning on In the Days of Noah. In the Days of Noah. It's good to see Brother Bob Mann's mom and dad here. God bless them. Always good to see them. Most of the time it's good to see you. That's good. Yes. I appreciate Brother Bob, Miss Lindsay, but especially appreciate baby Carter around this place. Never seen a child look more like his daddy than that child does right there. I mean, a head shaped like his daddy, looks like his daddy. I feel so sorry for that boy. It's terrible, you know? Sure. Genesis chapter 6 and 7. We'll begin our reading in just a moment. It'll take me a little while to get there, but in verse number 8. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us now as we proceed with this message. Would you speak to our hearts, speak to me. Thank you for how you spoke to me as we were typing this out. And I pray that you'll help me to preach it with power. Hide me behind the cross. Show us what you've told us already in your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting to me that the New Testament tells in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 17 that just as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. Folks, you don't have to look very far to see the similarities between our day and the days of Noah. The fact of the matter is the Lord's coming back again. Before he comes back, he has some instructions for us. And who knows, he may come back before I get done with this message, and I'll be honest with you, that'd be just fine with me if he does. I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord. I'm looking forward to getting out of this place, out of this wickedness, out of this corrupt world, and into a place of perfection. Into a place of sinlessness. And God is speaking to us in these chapters here. And he's spoken to me in the privacy of my study, even this afternoon, as I was typing out the remainder of this message. The Lord began to deal with my heart, thinking about how good it is to be saved. I'm glad that Noah is a picture of me today. Not everything he was, but one thing he was, he found grace in the eyes of God, and I thank God I found grace in the eyes of Almighty God. We're looking at these things together. We're talking about in the days of Noah. I'm going to go back and just tap on the head what I mentioned this morning. There are three major things we see in Noah's day, in the days of Noah. First of all, we noticed that man was profane. Secondly, we looked at God was present, and we saw that in his perception, in his promise, in his patience, and in his provision of the ark. Now tonight we go to major point number 3, and that is in the days of Noah, we see that Noah was peculiar. Now you say, why are you using that word? Because that's a Bible word, friends. The Bible tells us that we are a peculiar people. And we see right here in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7 that this man named Noah was a man that had several things that summarized his life. Now these things, when considering the wickedness of man around him, we can certainly see that these things were definitely peculiar things back in this day. In other words, there was something different about this man, Noah. When God looked around and saw all the wickedness and all the profanity and all the ungodliness, he saw something different with the man, Noah. He saw something peculiar with this man by the name of Noah. Now, there's 6 things I see about him tonight, and I'm not going to try to tarry much on any of them, but I'll say that, and I'll lie to you, so let me just take that phrase right back what I just said, all right? 6 things we notice about Noah and his peculiarities. In other words, he was peculiar in these 6 areas. Number 1, he was peculiar in that, first of all, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In chapter 6, verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is the first time the word grace is used in the entire Word of God. Now, folks, this simply means he found favor in the eyes of God. In other words, when God looked upon this wicked world at that time and promised judgment, he also looked upon Noah and he saw something different. While he was going to judge the world and judge sin, he showed his divine favor and his divine grace on this man by the name of Noah. In other words, he was not going to be condemned with the rest of the world. Verse 9 tells us that Noah was a just man before God. This word just means he was righteous in the eyes of God. Now we know that this statement can only be true. In other words, somebody is just and righteous before God. That can only be true through the avenue of faith and believing in God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 puts it this way, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Notice it does not say in our text here that Noah deserved it. It does not say that Noah deserved any kind of exemption from this judgment. It simply says he found grace in the eyes of Almighty God. He was a sinner just like everybody else was. But God, because Noah believed in him, God was going to save him from his judgment. Matthew Henry put it this way. He said, God looks down upon those with an eye of favor who sincerely look up to him with an eye of faith. Let me say here that this is the greatest thing that can be said about any individual. And what that is that he or she has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you go through life and never accept the grace of God, you're a loser. But oh, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and if you by faith have repented of your sin and received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, his grace has been extended to you, and that is something that you and I should be excited about tonight. Number one, he was peculiar in that he found grace in the eyes of God. Number two, he was peculiar in that he was perfect in his generation. We see this in chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Here it is, and perfect in his generations. Now, this word perfect here does not mean he was sinless. This word perfect carries the idea of being sincere before God. It carries the idea of being unblameable. It carries the idea of having integrity. It carries the idea of a man of truth. And it carries the idea of one who was truly devoted to God. The Lord brings out that this man, Noah, was one in the midst of wickedness who was right with God and had a heart to please him in everything he said and everything he did. Let me tell you something. Let me say right here that this should encourage our hearts. Let me explain. Our God has made life in such a way that if everybody goes the way of wickedness, you and I as an individual can be seen as perfect in our generation. In other words, you can live for Jesus Christ and have his blessing upon your life even if everybody else does not go God's way. I'm telling you, I'm glad tonight that no matter what the world may do, it should not affect my life before Almighty God. I can be right with God if nobody else is in the world. And I'm telling you that Noah was a man who was peculiar in that he didn't listen to the crowd. He didn't go with the crowd. He said, I know that's wicked. I will not be that way. I will serve God with my life. God, give us more Noahs tonight. God, give us Noahs that in a world full of wickedness, in a nation full of immorality and drugs and debauchery, God, give us some Noahs, young and old alike, who say, if the world goes to hell, I will not be budged. I will not be moved. I will stay right with Almighty God. He was peculiar in that he was perfect in his generation. Joshua 24:15. Joshua, that mighty man of God, he spoke to the nation of Israel and he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was the attitude of Noah. You choose who you want to serve. My choice is already made. I'm serving my God who has given me his amazing grace. Number three, well, notice the peculiarities of Noah. Excuse me just a minute. I can't breathe hardly up here. Mama's dinner's getting to me or something up here. Anyway, I know it doesn't look too professional, but I'm not here to look professional anyway. I'm here to preach. Amen. Here we go. Number three, Noah was peculiar in that he found grace in the eyes of God. He was perfect in his generation. Number three, he was peculiar in that he walked with God. We see this in verse number 9. Look at it. Right in the middle, and Noah walked with God. It's the last phrase used right there. And Noah walked with God. Now this word walked here is a very powerful word. When you start looking it up in the original language, you know what the idea comes out is? He was conversant with God. He talked to God. And God talked to him. He carried on conversations with God. He walked with him. It carries the idea of just going along with somebody. In other words, he was just in agreement with God. Whatever God said, he said, yes, sir, that's it. You're right, I'm wrong. He was walking with God. He was going along with God. You know one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian? Just go along with God, friends. Whatever he does, wherever he goes, just go along with it. You know, he likes it when his children tag along. Did you know that? He wants you to walk with him. He wants to talk with you. There's another word that's used here. You know what this word also carries the idea of? You ready for this? Being addicted. Look it up. He's saying he walked with God. You know what that means? That means he was conversant with him. That means he went along with him. And that means he was addicted to God. Now, in a world where so many people get addicted to so many foreign substances, they get addicted to alcohol, they get addicted to drugs, they get addicted to immorality, they get addicted to pornography, they get addicted to all these things. You know what Noah was addicted to? His walk with God. That's powerful, friends. I don't know if you see what I'm saying here. In other words, he just couldn't do without it. He had to walk with God. Now, I'm telling you something. I don't know about you. This is cutting me to shreds here tonight. Are you addicted to God? Can you, listen, your walk with God, your daily devotional reading, whenever you hear about walking with God, today you think about your devotional reading, your devotional life, you know, memorizing Scripture. Let me ask you a question. Can you take it or leave it? Are you okay if you don't walk with Him today? Are you okay to get out of the bed and go on to work and never talk to God, never read His Word, and it doesn't bother you at all? Not Noah. Noah was a man who was addicted to God. He had to walk with God. He could do without anything else, but he could not do without conversing with his God. What a powerful man Noah was. I'm telling you, this is one of the peculiarities of him. One person put it this way, walking with God was like Noah remembering the eye of his judge was always on him. And in every action he reflected, he's doing what is commanded and allowed by him and him only, who will hereafter either reward or punish it. Let us all learn from this that we are to walk with our God on a daily basis. We should be addicted to our God, conversing with Him and go along with Him by letting Him call the shots in our lives. By the way, I personally believe that one reason why Noah kept on building and kept on building and kept on building is because he was addicted to God and he walked with God on a daily basis. I'm telling you, he was peculiar. Micah 6:8 says this, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Or just looking at in the days of Noah, Noah was peculiar. He was different. There was something different about him. And what was different about him? Number one, he found grace in the eyes of God. He was perfect in his generation. He walked with God. Number four, he believed and obeyed God. We see this in chapter 6. Look at verse number 22. Chapter 6, verse 22 says this, Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Look at chapter 7, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female. Notice it now, as God had commanded Noah. Look at verse number 16. And they that went in male and female of flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Notice how these verses tell us that Noah did everything God told him to do. Consider that it had apparently never rained before. I brought out some of these things this morning. I'm going to repeat them here. But basically what God was saying to Noah is I'm telling you something that the world has never seen. Do you believe me, Noah? I'm God, and I'm telling you that water is going to fall from the sky, and I'm going to destroy this earth. And just like I said this morning, that was like him asking Noah to build an ocean liner in the middle of the state of Nebraska, friends. There's no water around. And God is saying, you need a boat big enough for you, your family, and some of every kind of animal. And I'm telling you, here's how I want it built. And somebody says, what did Noah do? You know what he did? He did exactly what God told him to do. You know what that tells me? He believed what God told him. And he obeyed what God told him to do. We see that again in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, where it talks about by faith he was moved by fear to prepare the ark to the saving of his own house. I'm telling you that he believed God. He obeyed God. God told him down to the minutest detail of exactly what to do. And listen to me now. Listen, back in this day, when he picked up the hammer, whatever they used back in this day, a hammer equivalent to today, if you will, when he picked up the hammer, whatever he used, every time he swung it, he was saying, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. And I'm doing this because he told me to do this. God, give us Noah's who say, I don't care what the world says. I don't care if the world laughs or not. If God said it, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to obey it, and I'm going to obey it to the minutest detail. This is Noah. We need people today who will walk with God on a daily basis. Believe God and obey what he's told us to do. Acts 27, 25, the Apostle Paul stood up in the middle of that major storm, if you remember the story, and he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. God told him, you're not going to die. Nobody else on that ship's going to die. And he stood up in the middle of the storm, and he said, I tell you, cheer up on this boat. I know that the storm's coming in. I know it's hard and rough right now, but God has told me something, and I believe him that it's going to be exactly what he said. The Bible tells us in Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. By the way, you have faith in something. You and I have faith in something or somebody. And how many times do we put our faith in something that's not true? Are you believing God? Are you obeying God? In a world when God was looking down upon it, and the Bible says the thoughts and every thought and every imagination of their heart was only evil continually, he looked over here and saw a man who believed him. He saw a man who trusted him. He saw a man who believed what he had to say. And that was peculiar. That was different. And I tell you, when God looks upon this earth and he sees you, what's he see? Do you blend in with everything else? Or does he look at it and say, I like that? Number five, he was peculiar also in that he preached righteousness. The Bible tells us this. You don't need to turn to it for time's sake, but in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 2, and verse number 5, here's what it says. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, comma, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the earth, upon the world of the ungodly. See, my friends, God promised judgment. But when he promised judgment, he told a man exactly what he was going to do. And when he told Noah what was going to happen, he gave him a work to do. He wanted him to build the ark and preach the word. And as Noah built the ark, he was known. 2 Peter 2:5, the Bible identifies him. He was a preacher of righteousness. Isn't it interesting that the word of God does not portray him here as the one, as the builder of the ark? And save Noah, the eighth person, the builder of the ark. That's not what it says. It says in 2 Peter 2:5, and save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. You know what that tells you? That tells you that as he was building, he was preaching, friends. And he was sharing righteousness with those around him. He was giving that ungodly generation the word of God. No doubt it must have gotten hard. No doubt. Some days he may not have felt like picking up the hammer and swinging it again. God gave man 120 years. And we understand that Noah preached for at least 100 years and maybe all 120. And I'm saying to you tonight, don't you imagine, can't you just imagine? I can't prove this, but you can't disprove it, friends. Can't you imagine that maybe they're in the 65th year of his preaching and building and all these kind of things? Can't you imagine that maybe he got tired? Can't you imagine maybe 75 years into it, he's still preaching the same message? No converts from the world? You think maybe he got tired? You think maybe he went to the old hammer again and said, well, I just don't know. I tell you, that old hammer's getting heavy. I just don't feel like swinging it today. Boy, this reminds you of something, doesn't it? But he knew that God told him to do it. And he knew that the hammer needed to keep being swung. So when he felt like it and when he didn't, he just picked up the hammer. He kept swinging it. And he kept telling them the old, old story. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Somebody says, Jody, it gets hard, it gets difficult. I've been trying to reach that person for 20 years. I've been praying for that person for 30 years. I've been burdened for that person for 40 years. I've not seen anything. You listening to me? Just keep picking up the whole hammer, my friends. Keep swinging it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because you might be the only one who's trying to reach him for Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, let us be faithful in preaching the Word of God to those who are lost and dying and telling them that judgment is coming. Lives depend upon it. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He's peculiar in this. You know what that means? I like that word righteousness. That means that what he said was the truth. He didn't give people fables. He didn't give people philosophies. He preached the truth. And when he preached the truth, God used him in a great way. We'll see that in just a moment. Oh, I think about folks who are being faithful and swinging the old hammer. I'm thinking of preachers now because we're talking about a preacher of righteousness, but you realize that every child of God is called to preach, not pastor church and not preach the Word of God to other people. A lady has not been called to do that, friends. The New Testament's still the New Testament. I'm talking about an official position, but every child of God's been called to preach. You know what the word preach means? It means to herald. It means to speak. And every child of God, men and ladies alike, are to be preachers of righteousness. You ought to be a preacher of righteousness in your home, a preacher of righteousness in your workplace, a preacher of righteousness everywhere you go. You ought to be taking the truth and heralding it out to people, giving it to people, and sharing the gospel. I think of brother of Dr. Lee Robertson. We got a lady that lives right down this street. I met her on visitation. It's not the first time I've met her, but I'd forgotten that she lives there. And sweet, sweet lady. And she began to give me her testimony yesterday and said she was saved and she was baptized later at Highland Park Baptist Church under Dr. Lee Robertson. When I heard that, I knew, man, I believe this girl got it right here, you know. And all I'm saying to you is this. You think of Dr. Lee Robertson, what do you think of? Some of you might not even know him. He preached over 70 years. He died in his 90s. And all he did was take that crooked finger and point out and say, have faith in God. Believe God. Faithfully preaching the Word of God. I think of one of my heroes. The Lord's my hero, you understand that. But when I was in Bible college, I loved to hear a lot of people preach, but there was one man, I loved it when he came around. It's Dr. Tom Malone. Have y'all know or knew Dr. Tom Malone? What a preacher, friends. You talking about that old raspy voice. Take the Word of God. And he'd get up as an 80-year-old man and he would thunder forth the Word of God. Those men died as preachers of righteousness. I think of people today, still living today, just being faithful. I think of Brother Bobby Robertson over in Walkertown. Been pastoring that church, I think, for over 55 years. Am I right? I think I'm right by saying that, right? Over 55 years he's been pastoring that local church. Faithfully preaching and pastoring. He's called the preacher's pastor. Walkertown. You listening to me? You hear him preach? He's not jumping up and down. He's not as crazy as your preacher is here, your pastor. He doesn't jump up and down. God's all over that man. He's had cancer, and every now and then he has to take a hose or something like that and swallow the hose to widen out his esophagus himself. He had to teach himself to swallow this. And he has to do that every now and then. And he sits over there. And if the man was here with us, that man runs what? 3,000 in his church. Am I right by saying 3,000 in his church? If he's sitting right here, folks, you wouldn't know that he run 10 in his church. Because he knows where it goes, and that it's at the feet of Jesus Christ. I think of our preacher. He's in Pennsylvania today. They traveled up and be with Joel and Laurie up there. He's not in the auditorium, but you all know, if you know anything about me, that I'd say this if he was here. One word I think of when I think of Preacher Lassen, that's the word faithful. He'll tell you himself. He said, I'm not the best preacher in this world. So there's many people that preach a lot better than me. And he means every word of that when he says it. I can tell the difference when somebody's just lying or not. That man not lying when he says that. So I'm not the best preacher in the world. There's other people who can preach a whole lot better than me. But I wouldn't trade that man for anything in the world. That man taught me something. You know what he taught? He taught me a lot of things, but here's one thing he taught me. You may not can be much, boy, but you can be faithful. You stay right with God. You stay on your face, and you keep studying. You keep preaching. God's used him in such a wonderful way. Still using him. He said, oh, by the way, he said, I won't be there next Sunday either. I'm preaching out somewhere. I like that. He's never going to stop preaching until God calls him home. At least I hope not. I don't know why I'm crying. I don't know why I am. Maybe God's just touching my heart. I don't know. But all I know is that Noah was a man that when everything could be said about him, God said, put this in 2 Peter. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a man just kept on preaching, just kept on going and kept on going. You can be faithful too. Let me give you a sixth thing about him. Boy, this is powerful. This is powerful. He was peculiar. Not only in that, he found grace in the eyes of God. And he was perfect in his generation. He walked with God, believed and obeyed God, preached righteousness. Number six, he influenced his family. Well, I like this point right here. God was dealing with my heart in a study. In Genesis chapter number 7, look at verse number 7. Genesis chapter 7, verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives, look at this, with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Look at chapter 7, verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. You see that right there? What's the point? The point is this. I see here that even though the rest of the world turned a deaf ear to his message, he preached for many years, friends. And the world said no, wanted nothing to do with it. We see that when he didn't have too much of an influence on the world, there was another group of people he influenced. You know who he influenced? He influenced his own family. God said, son, I want you to go in. Come in, not go in, come in. And he said, oh, don't forget your wife. Don't forget your sons. And don't forget your daughters-in-law. See, my friends, listen to me. This is exactly what Noah did. How thankful Noah must have been when the rain started to fall, I see him brokenhearted maybe about the crowd on the outside. But can't you just hear him inside? Can you imagine this being the ark here and all of a sudden you start hearing things on the roof? I can see Noah saying, "Here it is! It's coming." I guarantee you, Noah wasn't thrilled. Let's say he had a lot of money. I don't know what he had, but let's say he did. He wasn't looking around saying, "Thank God for that pot of gold I've got over there. Thank God for that over there. Thank God for this." No, I can just imagine him hearing the cries of those on the outside. It's too late for them. But while that rain starts getting harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder, and all of a sudden, here it comes. I mean, it's just pounding. How thankful this dear man of God must have been when he looked around. There stood his wife. There was his two boys with him. And there was his daughters-in-law. This dear man of God influenced his wife. Somebody had to tell him to get on, friends. This dear man of God influenced his sons. Somebody had to tell him that judgment's coming. This dear man of God had to influence his daughters-in-law. This dear man of God influenced his family to get on the ark. That's powerful. Hebrews 11:7 says again, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear." That word fear means respect. "Prepared an ark to the saving of his house." His house was saved. "By the which he condemned the world." Oh, my friends, let me talk to the men just a minute. I got such a burden for men. God's really dealing with my heart about men. Not that the ladies aren't poor, but don't ever take that negative if you're a female. But God is dealing in my heart in a great way about men. I've just ordered two books on what it means to be a man of God. Because God willing, we're going to start something in the future about helping men to be the men God's called them to be. God helping us to do that. May the Lord remind me of this and help us to do this. Now let me talk to you, men, if you're a husband or if you're a father, or maybe you're both. If you're a teenager, you're not married yet, you better listen up, friends. How awful would it be for a husband to go to heaven without his wife? How awful would it be for a father to go to heaven without his kids? Because he had no influence on them. I don't know what's in the privacy of your home. It's not my business, but it's God's. If you have children in your home, you are influencing your kids either for God or away from God. There is no middle ground. I'm telling you, dear saint of God, see the influence you have on those around you, especially your family. Noah, as a husband, influenced his wife. What did he influence his wife in? In the will of God. Noah, as a father, influenced his children. Influenced him for what? For God. A man has a great influence on his family. Don't you tell me otherwise, friends. He's got a great influence on his family. A husband and a father has great influence to help his family see their need of the ark's protection. Use it for the glory of God. I wonder, sir, if your mate and children turn out just like you, will they be found on the ark? Will they be perfect in their generation? Will they walk with God on a daily basis? Will they believe and obey the Lord? Will they preach righteousness in this world? And will they influence their family when you're dead and gone for God? God, give us more Noahs who influence their families to get on board. God, give us more Noahs who use their God-given influence for God over their wives and over their children. You reach the lady, you may get the family. You reach the man, more than likely you will get the family. And I'm telling you, it's just the way it's made.
God give us men at Buffalo Ridge who says, I'll be a Noah. Oh, I'll be a Noah. I'll be a Noah in my family. I'm going to preach righteousness starting tonight. I'm going to walk with God starting tonight. I'm going to be perfect in this generation. Starting tonight, I'm going to influence my family. I'm going to influence my wife and my kids. I'm going to believe whatever God says in His Word. And I'm going to do whatever He tells me to do. I'll be a Noah. God give us Noahs. I want to be a Noah. I want to be a Noah in my family. By the way, let me say this. There's no doubt that we have some Noahs in our congregation. There's no doubt we have some Noahs in our life and in our families. And let me speak to the wives and the children just a moment. If you have a Noah in your home, if you have a man who's trying to lead you right and do the right thing and walking with God and believing God and obeying God and being perfect in his generation, you ought to get on your face and thank God you have a daddy like that. I'm telling you. I think of Brother Bob. I hope he doesn't mind this, for he loves his mom and daddy. He thanks God for you folks. He had a Noah in his home. Still got a Noah there. I got a boy sitting right here. And I tell you what I want him to remember about his daddy is that his daddy was just another Noah. His daddy was a man who determined that if the whole world goes off, he's going to stay right and he's going to do what God wants him to do. I want that boy, and he stands up when he's my age and says, I remember my daddy. I may not even be here. So I remember my daddy, and here's what I remember about him. He was a preacher of righteousness, friends. He just told it straight like it is. He was perfect in his generation. He believed the Word of God and preached it for what it is. I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but he's dealing with me. I can't help it. When God squeezes my heart, it comes out my eyeballs. He's squeezing my heart tonight. I've got a baby girl at home. She's not saved yet. She's not reached the age of accountability. She doesn't understand the gospel. And I tell you what she needs. She needs a man in her home that more than anything else, the one thing her daddy wants for his daughter more than anything else is that she gets on the ark. That's all that really matters, friends. That's all that really matters. My, what is God telling you? What is God speaking to you about? What's He saying? Who will be another Noah? Will you accept the challenge? May the Lord help us in this. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Guide our thoughts. Help us to be like you. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God says if you're saved, you're peculiar. You're different. Tonight, my friends, the Lord's coming again. He's coming. Are you on the ark? If you're not, you can be before you leave. If you're on the ark, let me ask you this. Are you peculiar like Noah? You found grace in God's eyes, but are you perfect in your generation? You walking with God on a daily basis? You believing God and obeying Him? Are you preaching righteousness, and are you influencing your family for God? Let me deal with the men just a moment. If you're a man and you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. I'm a man. You might be a teenage young man. If you're a teenager or above, and you say, I'm a teenager, or I am a grown man, if you will, whether you're married or whether you're not, but you say, God is speaking to me as a man.
God has my attention. And you say, I want to recognize this, and God is challenging me that I need to be one who will stand to my feet and say, I'll be like Noah. Have y'all, God is dealing with you that way. If you're a man, raise your hand. Be honest about it. Be honest. If you got your hand raised, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up here at me. That's a lot of you. I don't do this often, have you look at me, but when there's a lot of people responding, I don't mind doing this. He's dealing with me too. I'm not where I need to be. But God can help us be. Starting tonight, amen. I want to challenge every one of you who are looking at me, you men who are looking at me right now, I want to challenge every one of you. If you have a mate, I want to challenge you. I'm not going to check up on this, and I'm not going to stare you down wondering why you don't do it if you don't. This is between you and God. But if your mate is here in just a moment, I want you to bring her to this altar, and I want you to pray with her. You say, what's that do? That makes you accountable, sir. You see what I'm saying? It makes you accountable. You young men, teenagers, this is encouraging to my heart to see some of you looking at me. May God help you. God help our men to stand and say, I will be like Noah. I'll stand for God. God will use you in a great way. If you have children with you in the service, bring your whole family. Let me tell you why. Noah brought his. So why don't you start being like Noah? Even though he brought them into the ark, you can bring them to the altar and say, I just want my family to know tonight, I want to begin to be like Noah. Or I want to be more like Noah, not begin. Some of you are already like Noah, you just want to be more like him. However God's dealing with you. If you're a lady tonight and God's speaking to your heart, you come, you talk to God. However God's dealing, let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us, I pray. Help us to respond right, be what you want us to be, and help these men to come, never to be ashamed to come to the altar. Help them to bring their wives and bring their children. May thy will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing with your heart, come on, come talk to God. Bring your family, men. Bring your wife. Come on, come talk to the Lord. This is what you want. This is it. I want to be a Noah. I want to give my family to God. I want to do what God wants me to do. If you're not sure you're saved, you let us know when you come to the altar. Let's talk to God about it. Let's help you with these things. Whatever God is dealing with you about. Keep on singing, Brother Gary. People are responding. The Lord is moving. There's time for you. Come on. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord.
Still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary still singing. Sing on.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me,
the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
They're playing through softly. If you're still standing, you can look this way. I want to sing one more verse of invitation. I like it when the Lord deals with people. You know how the Lord is dealing with me? A lot of times He deals with me first. He was dealing with me at my dining room table just this afternoon when I was typing this part out about Noah. God began to speak to my heart. He's still speaking tonight. The Lord's been good to us, hasn't He? Praise the Lord for it. Let's sing one more verse, Brother Gary. Nobody comes, we'll be through here in just a moment. Let's sing it together.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. We're dealing with one family here who's come to join the church tonight. Isn't that good? So praise the Lord for that. Amen. We're going to get their information, but this is the Rourke family here. We have other Rourkes here. And this is another Rourke family right here. And they are coming tonight to join our church by letter. All of them have been saved. I've had the privilege of visiting in their home and talking to them and so on. This is a precious family. And we're glad they're here. I mean that. And they're in my Sunday school class, so they're really getting the deep theological things around this church, you know. I'm just kidding with you there. We're so glad you're here. God bless you. And as you know, you've seen our burden a little bit. You help us now. He owns his own business, and he's already been trying to get the gospel out before he even came to this church. He was using his business to try to get the gospel out. So I think you're going to fit right in with us around this place, you know? Amen. Could I get the pleasure of the church that we accept this family by letter from a church of like faith? Scott, Brother Bob, second, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry, it's official. You are here. You can never get out now, okay? Amen. This has been a good service. Praise the Lord. Because God's Spirit has shown up tonight. Makes all the difference, doesn't he? Let's pray together. You folks stay right there. I want our folks to come by and meet you and greet you. If we do have guests here tonight, take your visitor's card out. I need to dismiss all of the teenagers, correct? All the teenagers need to be dismissed downstairs quickly, if you don't mind to do that, so you can get your points tallied and all that. All right? So let me let them get this way, and then we'll pray, and we'll be dismissed that way. All right? Brother Mann, if you don't mind, sir, to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer tonight, please.